You're listening to Shoreditch Radio. Shoreditchradio.co.uk.
Navidad con Titi Henry. Henry para Messi. Messi, el pase para Henry es buenísimo. Henry. Gol. Titi.
And it looked like it was in. It come back off the bend on toes.
Para Alves con Messi para Xavi. Vamos a ver qué hace Xavi, esconde el balón, Xavi. ¡Qué balón para Messi! ¡Puede marcar Messi! ¡Gol! ¡De Messi!
After the fourth round of the oldest cup competition in the world left us all rubbing our eyes in disbelief this weekend, we try and get our heads around the sudden resurgence of the romance of the FA Cup and pay tribute to the giant killers themselves. We'll also take a look at the transfer goings on this month as deadline day rears its ugly head once more and ask who's done the best business. Later on this hour, a special interview with a new friend of the show as we're joined live by the editor of the QPR fanzine, Mr. Dave Thomas, to get the inside scoop on how the fans feel about their chances of survival this season. Take a bow certainly won't be putting a smile on Jose Mourinho's face as we round off the show with everyone's favourite feature. And of course, a special playlist handpicked by myself and our wonderful listeners to make sure we're on song this afternoon. So get ready to help us kick some sense back into football and welcome to In Off The Post. Good afternoon to you, each and every one of our marvellous and generous listeners who have taken the time out of their busy lives to tune in to Shoreditch Radio or indeed to catch up with the podcast. I can promise you right now that you've made the right decision because today's show is simply unrivaled. And a big part of that is, of course, down to the man sitting just to my right. Ladies and gentlemen, our resident betting guru is back in Shoreditch. Please allow me to reintroduce John Christodoulou. Yes, Dulu is in the house.
Thank you very much. You're too kind.
Dulu, it's a pleasure to have you back here, mate. We haven't seen you since just before Christmas.
Yep.
How was it?
It was all right. Quiet one this year. Quiet. Absolutely did nothing, which is just how I like it.
Just how you like it. Fair enough. When I last asked you about it, you said you hadn't even put up your tree yet, and it was probably a week or two past that kind of day where it's supposed to go up. So is it still up?
No. We took it down early as well this year.
Okay.
It's a short Christmas, very short.
You got a
Christmas
thing against Christmas trees? Or?
No, I love Christmas. It's just, this year, don't know what happened. Just wasn't in the spirit.
Fair enough. And look, let's get back to the football. Tell me, how much did you enjoy the fourth round of the FA Cup this weekend?
I think you said it all in the intro, disbelief.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't get to catch too much of it on television.
No, I don't think many people did.
No, but just looking at the scores rolling in, I mean, I watched Man United on a Friday night and I thought, oh great, it's going to be a horrible weekend. And then Saturday, just my mood just went the completely other way. It was just fantastic.
Spared your blushes. Well, look, you're absolutely right. There were some incredible scenes indeed. And don't worry, we're going to go ahead and dive right into all of that in just a minute. First, of course, how dare I tempt you into such a tasty debate before first whetting your appetite with a song, because that's just how we do things here on In Off The Post.
It's just a public service announcement. Sponsored by Just Blaze and the good folks at Rockefeller Records.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho, H to the O-V. I used to move snowflakes by the O-Z. I guess even back then you can call me CEO of the R-O-C. Ho! Fresh out the frying pan into the fire. I be the music biz number one supplier. Fly it in a piece of paper bearing my name. Got the hottest chick in the game wearing my chain. That's right, ho, ho. Not D-O-C, but similar to them letters. No one could do it better. I check cheddar like a food inspector. My homie Strick told me, dude, finish your breakfast. So that's what I'ma do, take you back to the dude with the Lexus. Fast forward the jewels and the necklace. Let me tell you dudes what I do to protect us. Shoot at you actors like movie directors.
Say the movie, dog.
Now, before I finish, let me just say, I did not come here to show out. Did not come here to impress you. Because to tell you the truth, when I leave here, I'm gone. And I don't care what you think about me. But just remember, when it hits the fan, brother, whether it's next year, 10 years, 20 years from now, you'll never be able to say that these brothers lied to you, Jack.
Thing ain't lie, I done came through the block and everything that's fly. I'm like Che Guevara with bling on, I'm complex. I never claim to have wings on, nigga, I get my by any means on. Whenever there's a drought, get your umbrellas out, because that's when I brainstorm. You can blame Sean, but I ain't inventing the game. I just rolled the dice trying to get some change. And I do it twice, ain't no sense to me lying as if I am a different man. And I could blame my environment, but ain't no reason why I be buying expensive chains. Hope you don't think users are the only abusers. Niggas getting high within the game. If you do, then how would you explain? I'm 10 years removed, still the vibe is in my veins. I got a hustler spirit, nigga, period. Check out my hat, yo, peep the way I wear it. Check out my swag, yo, I walk like a ball player. No matter where you go, you are what you are, player. And you can try to change, but that's just the top layer. Man, you was who you was before you got here. Only God can judge me, so I'm gone. Either love me or leave me alone.
Yes, kicking it off with a little classic Jay-Z before some public service announcements of our own this afternoon. Welcome back to In Off The Post, where John and I are about to dive into the wondrous round of FA Cup action that saw the Premier League leaders, Chelsea, the champions, Manchester City, as well as Spurs, Swansea, Liverpool, Sunderland, Southampton, and even John's beloved Manchester United either crash out of the cup altogether or have to, you know, add another unwelcome game to their fixture list to spare their blushes in a replay next week. John, what happened this weekend was obviously unprecedented, at least in modern times. But how do you really see it? Was it a great weekend for a trophy that many claim to have really lost its shine in recent years? Was it a scathing indictment of the gulf between the Premier League and everyone else? Because, you know, this sort of thing would never happen in, you know, anywhere else in the world. At least you can make a case for that. You know, what's your opinion?
Firstly, the first point you made about the FA Cup sort of being, I don't know, people have mentioned reborn. Mm. So I would say I agree with that, because for years, I personally haven't got excited about the FA Cup. They tend to show the same clips of one sort of David v Goliath, you know, result. It's Leeds beating Man U 1-0, that type of thing.
And Wrexham.
Yeah, it happens every now and again. But really, the magic of the FA Cup for me hasn't been there in recent years. But after this weekend, I mean, just 10 Premier League teams now out of the FA Cup.
Yeah.
And so many, like you say,
five on this, weekend
five on
alone.
This weekend alone. And the results are just staggering. I'm 2-0 up, Chelsea.
Unbelievable,
you know,
right?
And the amount of... I saw a couple on Twitter and social media accumulators that came in. I don't know who predicted these results, because I don't see how anyone could have any faith this weekend looking at that accumulator and thinking to themselves, yeah, that's going to come off. You know, it's impossible.
Absolutely,
like,
right.
Obviously,
I mean, I was telling you not long ago that I got involved in this kind of sport lobster, this new kind of social network for sports fans. And one of the things they encourage you to do is make predictions. And I chose this weekend to make my inaugural predictions. I think I got one right out of about 11 games.
Which one was that?
Derby. And that was a punt as well. Yeah. So, I mean, it really, what it was, absolutely spectacular. And as you would presumably agree, there's no other place to start than at the Bridge, as you intimated. But, and you know, I do agree with you, but seeing as I do have a Manchester United fan in my company this afternoon, and you know, I'm just cruel like that, I'd prefer we start at the Abbey Stadium on Friday evening, where your boys were held to a replay by League Two side Cambridge United. And, you know, sorry to twist the knife here, and yes, it could have been a lot worse. You know, just our city. But it was the first real warning sign of what was to follow the next day. So, you know, simply put, what on earth happened?
They were just in Cambridge.
Yeah.
Just disciplined. From a defence to attack, just solid formation. And we just really couldn't get it going. I mean, we had a couple of chances, but they had the best chance in the first half.
Yes.
And if they had put it away, then...
It was Coulson narrowly heading over.
Yeah. So, I still think, had we sort of played with a bit more energy, if the surface had been a little bit better because the ball was bobbling all over the place, maybe it would have been
excuses.
A little... Yeah, possibly. No, we weren't good enough overall, but... you know, especially when you've got big guns in the field, like, you know, Di Maria, Falcao, then you bring Van Persie... And then the formation I didn't like personally. Yanezai, we sort of had Fellaini on the right,
yeah.
And Jan Azar on the left, who is a winger, but it just didn't feel right, that sort of diamond formation. But, there can be no excuses. We should be beating a team like Cambridge. No disrespect to Cambridge, but you think there's 75 places
between
you in the football
league. I don't think
that's
showing them disrespect. I think Cambridge, Richard Money hasn't given his guys much of a chance in the replay already.
Well, I mean, credit to them, though. And for this is a massive game for them. They get, I think it's £1.5 million now. Just
possibly
1.7,
yeah.
Which I heard, well, no, I might not say what I heard, because I think it mentioned that they might run their club for like another, for a long period of time, the money that they get from the jerseys. So that there, for them, well, it's funny, were they playing for the draw, people have argued.
Well, yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
If they'd gone for the win, would it have been a different game? Maybe we would have hit them on the counter, being too much, but no.
If they'd scored in the first half, it would have been a very different game I suspect, anyway.
Yeah, it could have been a completely different weekend.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You started it, the domino effect. And you're quite right in saying it's interesting to think about their kind of motivation for the game. Was it to get the draw, to get the replay at Old Trafford? Then is that in keeping with, you know, this spirit of the FA Cup that we just spoke about being reborn?
It's not really, but when you think about football in the big picture, I mean, money is, and for a
the
club drive, like Cambridge,
yeah, the driving
it's massive,
force, absolutely.
You know,
yeah, and the gulf between the two is certainly now, as you say, the game has changed and it is moving away from, a results-based industry, or rather, a results-based industry is all that matters because of the effect it has on the finances. And I touched on it just a moment ago. Richard Money, the Cambridge United manager, obviously asked about the replay, what he thinks his side's chances are of success. His response was, "Who cares? Who cares?"
I think he does care. I think there's this little feeling inside of him thinking, if we go to Old Trafford and if we play the same way and we can somehow nick a win, because I think that's what they will try and do, maybe work from set pieces, possibly work more on the counter-attack, then, because they have to go for a result now. There's no draw.
No, and I mean, there's nothing to lose.
Yeah, exactly. And it will be a day to remember for lots of Cambridge fans and Cambridge players. So they will play their hearts out for sure.
And we spoke about the money. I'm just looking at the facts here. It is 1.7 million. That's what the payday would turn out to be. And if you consider the Reds have a revenue of 433.2 million, that was last season. Cambridge, in contrast, have a turnover of 1.6.
There you go.
So you're quite right. It is almost an annual exactly. budget in one game. Absolutely amazing. Yeah. One thing that I wanted to touch on was the no shirt swapping bit. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I heard
this
about that.
This is fantastic. Richard Money, the Cambridge United manager, told his players that if they swap shirts with the United players at the end of the game, they would be asked to pay £40 for a replacement shirt.
I feel bad for them. Because surely you want to go over there and you want to get Falcao's shirt.
If I was a Cambridge United player, I would pay the £40 happily.
Yeah. You probably got it. But I don't know. Yeah, it's a weird one. But like you say, I mean, maybe showing they don't want to show too much respect, especially with the replay coming up. But no, I reckon a lot of them will probably try and really, really hard to not go and get. You know, because you would, wouldn't you? That's the first thing. How many players have you seen at the end of the
think
game?
Think of the players that were on
player?
That pitch. I mean, I was saying to you not long ago, we spoke about this after the game, and I was saying I just found it almost amusing to watch Falcao and Di Maria and those players of that calibre struggling on that pitch in the stadium.
Especially second half, when the weather got a little bit horrible.
Yeah.
The rain, it was windy. Mm. And you think, they probably didn't expect that when they signed for United.
Well, part and parcel of playing in England. And a couple other things to touch on with Manchester United. A few things I read about today. Fletcher to leave Man United on a free. Mm. We're going to come to the rumour mill and the transfers in a bit. But that one surprised me, as, you know, the midfield option, certainly defensively, you don't exactly have an abundance of defensively minded midfielders at the minute. Are you surprised that he could be on his way out?
It's a shame, but I reckon he probably wants more playing time. Mm. Unfortunately, he's been played with that bowel illness he had and just
absolutely.
Injury problems in general, and he might not get ahead of the other midfield options that we have, even though he's probably one of the like you say, more solid defensive players. And it's one of them where you think he's been such a good servant that if he wants to go, then you're not going to stand in his way.
Do you think it's a question of him wanting to go, or could it possibly be? I mean, let's consider you touched on it yourself, the journey he's been on to get back to where he was after that illness. I mean, under Fergie, I would have been surprised to be reading about this. And then again, under Van Gaal, it seems that the respect perhaps is lacking for that service.
It depends how you look at it, I think. I mean, is it respect to let him go of his own accord, or, I mean, he is still one of the, Van Gaal says he has three club captains. Fletcher's one of them, Carrick, Rooney. Mm-hmm. So when he comes on the field, he's still one of the senior members of the squad, but maybe it's just time for him to move. I don't know. I mean, personally, I think he's good for the squad. Mm-hmm. He's obviously there to teach, I think, midfielders who have probably just, like Herrera, younger ones, to come in and say, this is what you have to do. This is what playing for a big club like Manchester United is. But then if he wants to play regular football, then
he may have to move elsewhere. Yeah. No, that's fair enough. It may well be the case. I certainly hope it is. Another story that popped up on my screen this afternoon when I was looking into your club. Van Persie unsure over a new contract. That surprise you?
A little bit. Especially, Van Gaal.
Because he did not look happy at the Abbey on Friday night, did he?
No. Well, Van Gaal or Van Persie?
Van Persie.
Yeah, he probably doesn't like Neither. Coming on as having to be like a super sub. Mm. But then again, the guy's not been scoring goals.
No.
You know, and you kind of think he will get back to scoring goals if he gets a run of games. But at the moment, if you're not scoring goals, then and the competition's there in the United squad in terms of strikers.
Did you see where this trend of a ruthless Van Gaal is coming from?
Yeah.
But could very well be the captain, and to a Dutch captain, nonetheless.
But saying that, he's had his chances, if that makes sense. He stuck with him when he wasn't doing so well, like in the build-up to the Southampton games.
Absolutely.
But then he comes up with goals. But then you kind of think, well, Falcao he's been there and thereabouts, and he's been assisting goals, maybe not getting on the end of them. Is it time to give him a chance to play through the middle?
Do you think there could be pressure on Van Gaal to play Falcao? Considering how long he's only going to be there for and how much he's costing per week.
His cost is going to be the bit. Well, you have to give him a chance to prove that he's good enough for the Premier League. It's weird because, like you say, he's only here for a season, depending on whether we decide to, to extend it into a permanent contract. But you always say you need to give a player in the Premier League at least one season to bed in and, acclimatise to the rhythm and the way that English football is played. He's not going to get that.
No.
He has to really go head first. He's got to attack everything.
And I suppose everyone's a little less forgiving when they're on that sort of money.
Yeah. But his goal scoring record is ridiculous everywhere he goes. So you should, if that is something to go by, then you expect him to do well. But he needs games, and I think for us, he needs delivery. I don't think he's the type of striker who's going to get the ball, dribble past five players, and knock it in the back of the net. We've seen he has done it every now and again, but he's the type of guy. You put a cross in and he's going to be on the end of it.
I actually completely agree. Yeah. You do see, when you watch him, even off the ball, he's working so hard.
Yeah.
And if the service, if the ball isn't coming, the perfect example being that ball from Michael Carrick, it was practically the only thing that he had to feed off and he almost scored.
Yeah.
Denied brilliantly by the goalie.
The QPR game as well. I only saw a couple of the highlights. And I saw this one chance where it was across from the right, went right across the box, and I thought he missed it when he slid across the ground, but he didn't miss it. The ball just bobbled over his foot, and that's the type of luck he has at the moment.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, well, look, as we mentioned, the result was merely a precursor, should I say, to some more, even more dramatic games, and we'll be back with reaction to City and Chelsea, of course, after a quick musical interlude. United will almost certainly come through the replay at home and quickly put the entire nasty episode firmly behind them. And as for Cambridge, well, the payday at the Theatre of Dreams will apparently do just fine.
Thank you. they treat you, the way they make you feel. I take my check, you take your mood. Let's just say whatever, man, whatever gets you through, 'cause it's payday. I'm blowing the blues away, boy. Talking about my payday. Don't be waiting up for me. Brothers, sisters, tonight we party, tonight we're dancing, here we're talking the ultimate smash of a lifetime. This one's on me.
Welcome back to In Off the Post. That was Buzz Skaggs with Payday. Yeah, that's right. It was called Payday. Doesn't matter where I found it or how I found it. I managed to find the dedication, okay? And that was, of course, after Cambridge United secured a lucrative replay at Old Trafford for next week. My guest co-host this afternoon is, of course, our resident betting guru, John Christodoulou. And before I cruelly forced him to relive his team's Friday night performance at the Abbey, we agreed that it served rather as a warning for what was to follow. A warning which the likes of Chelsea and Manchester City failed to heed. So, as if anyone needs reminding, Chelsea, of course, surrendered a two-goal lead at home to League One Bradford City. And Manchester City, reigning champions of English football, of course, were sunk at home by high-flying Championship side Middlesbrough. Now, John, we're going to get onto yours in just a minute, but if we just, you know, have give an overall perspective of those two games. Let's start with the game at the Bridge. How on earth did that happen from 2-0 up?
Can't believe it. You just do not expect Chelsea to give away a 2-0 lead.
It's unheard of.
Under a Mourinho side who, you reckon they never give away a 1-0 lead.
Yeah.
They just park the bus. Well, you say park the bus, but yeah, they're just a solid footballing side.
Reading, my whole timeline was full of Ramirez, 2-0, game over.
Exactly.
And that's what you expected.
That's exactly what I expected. But it just shows you, FA Cup, right?
Yeah.
Second half, yeah. Four goals from Bradford, and all of a sudden...
What do you put it down to, though?
Just a lack of concentration and just belief on Bradford's part, just that work ethic and just going 110% thinking there's nothing to lose now. So yeah, and they've just absolutely fantastic, got them a spot in the next round.
Absolutely amazing. And of course a lot of that was down to John Stead, which we have to give a shout out to, that remarkable performance in the second half.
Yeah, well, we were saying before the game, right, that I've mentioned him 10 years ago that he played against Man United and he scored a goal for Blackburn
An impression wherever he goes.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden he's popped up for Bradford 10 years later.
I couldn't believe he was still even playing. He's actually on loan from Huddersfield, so no doubt they'll be recalling him.
I think Bradford are going to try and keep holding him for a little bit longer.
Absolutely. Absolutely amazing. And, I've got a couple of stats for you here. The 4-2 defeat to Bradford was the Blues' first home loss in 17 League and Cup games at Stamford Bridge. That's including 16 matches this season alone. And it was the first time any side coached by Jose Mourinho has conceded 4 goals in a home game. So it really was, a shock that surpasses anything of the FA Cup. It was just out of this world.
I mean, you say it's like a footballing... I can't think of the word now, just something that, just never happens.
Absolutely, yeah.
But then we saw all the other results as well. All of a sudden, put into perspective, and it just shows you that in any one football match, any other team can beat the other. And it doesn't matter how big the mountain is that you have to climb, you can overcome it.
And I mean, do you think it was a real a victory of humility? So, the Bradford City players would have been walking in, facing a sea of Louis Vuitton bags and Dr. Dre Beats headphones and that didn't faze them.
To some degree, but I just think it's we get to play Chelsea at Stamford Bridge and we have to take our chance. And like you say, maybe that was part of the motivation for them. But then Bradford aren't a small club.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure some of their players will have a couple of pairs of Beats headphones and their wags have nice handbags and stuff. But no, I know what you mean. It's just one of them games where you just couldn't believe what I was seeing.
And yeah, like you say, I know you know what I mean. What I'm trying to get at is the gulf in terms of the finances clearly doesn't represent the gulf in terms of the quality of football, which is quite interesting. Is that how strong our league is as a whole or how weak the elite teams are?
Oh, it's a weird one. I think if you saw Bradford in the Premier League having to play week in, week out against really top opposition, then they might struggle.
Mm.
But having one game where you can go no holds bar and just do your very best,
yeah,
then it's possible. And that's what the FA Cup really is all about. It's giving a chance for perceptively a lesser team,
yeah,
to play the big boys and possibly come out with a win. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, fair enough. And of course, it was rather embarrassing for Jose Mourinho in particular, who made that comment before the game. Do you think it was... Well, I mean, when I hear Jose Mourinho speak in a press conference, he says one thing and you know he's talking about something completely unrelated. When he was talking about that what a disgrace it would be to lose to Bradford, was he really just trying to turn the heat up on his Premier League adversaries, like Manuel Pellegrini?
I think there was a little bit of mind games going on there. They're from the special one, definitely. But at the same time, I think he's honest in that it would be an embarrassment, mm-hmm, if they lost. But at the same time, he's doing exactly what you said. He's sort of passively aggressively saying, yeah, you have to win, because if you don't win, we're going to win. And then we're going to go on and win the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously it backfired, which we've seen. Yeah,
quite brilliantly. And look, let's get to those odds. Now that Bradford have done the unthinkable and come away from Stamford Bridge and qualify for the fifth round, people are going to be looking at them like they're world beaters. I mean, what are Bradford City's odds, out of curiosity, to go on and win the whole thing?
So they're currently 150-1 to go on and win the whole thing. So yeah, still outsiders. But you never know.
No, and of course, with Chelsea out of the way, it would have had an effect on
the odds for every other team. Yeah, I mean, definitely for the likes of Arsenal, Man United, Liverpool, their odds have decreased dramatically.
What are Arsenal's out of interest?
So, Arsenal, you're 9-4. You're actually currently favourites to defend.
As we should be, as the holders.
Yeah, you should, and your game in the next round is also quite favourable.
Mm-hmm. Home tie, Middlesbrough.
Exactly. Well, you'd expect to beat them, yeah, but after this... Yeah,
well, let's talk a bit about Middlesbrough. Of course, we mentioned the Chelsea connection with Aitor Karanka and Jose Mourinho. Obviously, Patrick Bamford, on loan from Chelsea, scored in that game. And the real story to emerge from it was, of course, surrounding Man City's trip to Abu Dhabi midweek. Mm-hmm. What do you make of that?
It's a weird one. I think it was an unnecessary trip, really. I didn't even know they were playing that Wednesday. Just sort of popped up on my BBC live feed as I was just catching up on all the news. I thought, that's a strange one. Didn't realise the City had a game tonight. And I can only imagine it was for money and exposure, really.
Yeah, commercial responsibilities tend to take precedence here. Yeah. But I mean, you mentioned to me before, it was obviously against Hamburg,
mm-hmm,
and it made sense for you.
From Hamburg's perspective, definitely. Coming off the back of a winter break in Germany, they sort of need to build their match fitness.
Yeah, get up
just
to get speed.
Get back into the groove, yeah. But Man City, for them, just didn't feel like they needed to play that game. They played a decent side as well. It wasn't a reserve team or anything like that. So, and they won the game quite comfortably. I think it was 2-0.
Oh, right.
So it was just a very strange game, because also it's just the travelling.
Unnecessary, it would seem, yeah.
Well, we often seen the Champions League and things like that, that their big clubs dislike going far distances, often to places like Ukraine or Russia, playing at different times, because it just messes with everyone's routine.
Mm.
So surely a trip to Abu Dhabi and back midweek, when you've got an important game to prepare for, is just an unnecessary...
Well, Pellegrini, disagrees with you. He says it's very easy to blame Abu Dhabi. He said we had, a few clear-cut chances to score at the beginning would have changed the game. I think we can accept that. Goals change games. And he thinks there are a lot of different footballing reasons that contributed that have nothing to do with Abu Dhabi. But how can he deny that a trip like that would have an impact?
I don't think he can deny it.
He's going to anyway, isn't
he's
he?
Going to, yeah, yeah, but I don't think he can. Yeah.
Well, look, of course, an incredible five Premier League teams were dumped out of the cup at an embarrassingly early stage in the tournament. And while West Brom's encouraging resurgence under Tony Pulis, Aston Villa's crucial victory over Championship frontrunners Bournemouth and Arsenal's continued good form were largely swept under the carpet amid the shock results, the real winner this weekend was, of course, English football. Regardless of whether we think it showed our elite teams to be weak or our so-called lesser teams to be strong, we were once again totally transfixed by the beauty and timeless romance of the FA Cup, which perhaps now even shines brighter than ever before. Get in touch with us right now on Twitter at IOTPShow, or with me personally on Sports Lobster using the same handle, and let us know what you really thought. In Off The Post, kicking some sense back into football. We're back in just a minute, so don't move a muscle, unless of course this next song causes you to get up out your seat and and dance uncontrollably. Dedicated to the Giant Killers by our own producer and fearless leader Delroy, this is LL Cool J with Mama Said Knock You Out.
Come on, man. And with the local DBC news, LL Cool J with a triumphant comeback.
More a solo. But tonight,
don't call it a comeback.
Shafting, oh, English, fill my mind.
Wow, yes, I'm loving this new stab. It of course suggests that we're about to get into a brand new feature, the Rumour Mill. It's been working at full capacity since the turn of the new year, and while the January transfer window is a notoriously difficult nut to crack or find any real value in, it certainly hasn't stopped teams trying to bolster their squads ahead of the second half of the season. And with a little help from my special guest co-host this afternoon, John, well, I should say more than a little help, we're going to take one last check on the big movers and shakers and see if we can't decide who looks to have come out on top. So, John, where'd you like to start?
Well, let's start with Laporte, I guess, from Atletico Bilbao.
Someone I've been keeping a close eye on FIFA.
Well, you've obviously been telling me over the last few weeks that you like the look of him.
I really do, actually.
When Arsenal obviously had the chance to sign him. Well, rumoured to have the chance to sign him. But obviously you've just signed Paul Easter, so all of a sudden it's up in the air again who he could be going to. At the moment, Man United are favourites, and I especially know how in need of like central defenders where we are.
Yeah, so, that's fair, actually. Yeah. And I guess you're pretty pleased that he is looking at defensive players, finally.
Finally.
Yeah, it's about time.
Yeah. So just to give you quickly the odds, 7-4 for Man United for him to go to Manchester United.
Right.
The interesting thing I found about the Laporta rumour was that second favourites were Barcelona to sign him at 5-2.
Well, how's that work?
Exactly. I mean, last time I checked, they had a transfer ban.
Yeah, till 2016.
So I'm not quite sure how they're second favourites to sign him, but yeah.
You know what, you never know with Barcelona.
You never know.
No, absolutely not. And that would be a fantastic addition, I have to say. After seeing him on FIFA and signing him for my little career mode, I have been looking into him, watching him as much as I can, and he is massively impressive. He's actually the only player in La Liga with more interceptions than Paulista this season. So he's clearly impressing at Bilbao.
Yeah, he's doing very well. And his release clause, $31.5 million, obviously, reflects.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's always a pretty big sum, really. But he's a young defender, so and emerging French international, really. So you have to pay big money.
Are Real Madrid going to be interested in that? I'm picturing a young French partnership with Varane. That would be spectacular.
Well, they weren't actually involved, and they're not among the five favourites to sign him, which was interesting.
I think they've done enough this window, haven't they?
Yeah, well, they've already bought two very, really, very, very good young players, Silva and Odegaard.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much they're looking for in terms of defenders as well, but with Real Madrid, you really never know.
No,
they could sweep
in
at
any
time.
For me, they're just rubbing it in with Barcelona and the embargo anyway. It's very rare they sign these sorts of players in January.
It's very interesting, but obviously today, I think they've become under investigation as well themselves for signing young players.
Really?
Yeah, so
I mean, trying to get them in the doors now while they can.
It could go the same way as Barcelona.
So who's next?
Who's next? Well, we have, I guess the big rumours are Hummels as well, in terms of centre-backs, because he's rumoured to either go to Man United, Arsenal, or even possibly Bayern Munich.
Wow.
So their odds, respectively, is 10-1 for United, 20-1 for Arsenal, I imagine just because they've also just signed a centre-back, so they've got less need. And Bayern, 25-1. But I can't actually imagine Hummels going to a rival, but, you know, I've seen stranger things happen
as well. Well, exactly. Götze will tell you. And of course, with Dortmund in that perilous position, if they don't do something quite drastic in the second half of the season, there's going to be a raid on their club.
Could be looking at a clear
Southampton-esque.
But we saw what happened with Southampton.
Yes,
they're doing all right at the moment.
Right. And Klopp isn't going anywhere.
Apparently.
Well, presumably so. Without Champions League football, we'll see how long that lasts.
But like you say, there's a very, very good crop of players at Dortmund. And obviously, we've already mentioned Reus, I think, early on in the show. And he'd be the first one to be poached. I don't think he'd want to go. But if the money was right, then we've got odds on him as well, yeah. I mean, the favourites.
Really, is he linked?
Favourites at the moment are City, 7-2, and then Madrid at 4-1. And rumours are that if he is going to go anywhere, it would be Madrid.
Well, I've heard that there's already a pre-contract agreement with Real Madrid.
Really?
So I'd be very surprised if he goes anywhere else. So 4-1, I think listeners jump on that one.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. He said he'd never go to Munich as well, but they're still up there at 14-1. So,
interestingly, he's on 75 grand a week, Odegaard. 80 grand a week at Real Madrid.
It's amazing. Wow. Amazing. But Odegaard's transfer fee was quite low.
Fair enough.
It's only like 3.2 million, something around that area. So maybe they can afford to bump it up with the contract. Whereas you look at the really big players, sometimes their fee dictates how much they can actually get in terms of their actual weekly wage.
That's interesting. Next on the list?
Next we'll go...
I'm loving this.
We'll go Premier League, I guess. And the ins and outs at Chelsea.
Okay.
So we've got rumours that Cuadrado could be going to Chelsea.
Okay.
But the only way that would happen is if they release one or two players.
Is this FFP rearing its head?
FFP, apparently.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. I'm glad to hear it's working. So who looks like they could be on their way out?
The main one is Schürrle at the moment.
Salah.
Salah is arguably on his way out as well. Unfortunately, I don't have any odds for you on,
okay,
on
Salah. Fine.
But on Schürrle, I do. And he looks like he would be going to Wolfsburg.
Oh, what a great addition that would be for them.
For Wolfsburg. They've got a very strong team, so yeah. Schürrle would be a great addition. Whether he wants to go, because he hasn't had that long in English football,
true,
is a different thing. But then,
but of course, going back to his native Germany may be appealing to him.
Be the easiest transfer. But there were rumours today that Tottenham could be in for him. But
Tottenham are in for everyone.
Yeah, whether whether Chelsea would actually sell to Tottenham as well is a different thing. But they would sell to opposition if the money was right. I mean, you see Mata to Man United.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're willing to pay. And then obviously Cuadrado, they can eventually get from Fiorentina. But possibly, a lot of it said it might not happen this window. They could wait until the summer. And that's looking the case with a lot of transfers at the moment. So unless anything really strange happens, mm-hmm, then we probably won't be seeing any more major ones.
And so, yeah, you know, in the case of who's done the business this January, who do you think has come out on top? Especially in the Premier League, if we limit it to that. There hasn't been too much movement, but any moves that have impressed you and you've thought, okay, that could change things for them?
Well, we've obviously seen Arsenal. They've just, yeah, reinforced with two signings. So now you've got another good centre-back.
Hopefully, well, presumably so. Never played for Brazil at any level, which did raise some question marks.
But Brazil's sort of been set with their centre-backs for
that's
a couple
true,
of years.
That's true.
Yeah, but like, if he's obviously doing very well in Villarreal. You mentioned
absolutely,
that earlier.
Yeah,
the interceptions are. And cover for Mertesacker and Koscielny,
yeah,
or even a new partnership.
Third best defensive record in La Liga this season, only behind Barcelona and Real Madrid, obviously. Yeah. So he's obviously a crucial, yeah, part of quite a decent setup they've got at Villarreal.
Yeah, and you've got him for a decent fee as well, and hopefully he'll just shore up your defence and he gives you that extra option. And also you signed
Christian Bellick.
Exactly.
Which I'm quite excited about, this youngster. I've heard, another youngster, and he is going to need time, but he's of a different pedigree is what I'm hearing.
I've not seen too much of him, but he's really, really physical. He's very strong, and maybe that's the type of player Arsenal
big
be
guy.
Missing.
I mean, slight frame, but he'll fill out. You know, it's only a matter of time. He will fill out.
A young guy.
I think we might have got a real bargain there. Yeah, looking back on it in a few years, he could very well be. So I'm quite excited about that.
We shall see. So,
I mean, who do we think, you know, can compete with that? Manchester City?
Manchester City. So they obviously, their big signing is Bunny. 28 million.
Yeah, I think that's about right. 28 million. You think they ever paid there? Or
probably a little bit. Yeah, but he's
doing wonders out in the African Cup of Nations. I saw some lovely skill on a vine the other
the
day.
The little flip flap.
Absolutely,
yeah,
what
fantastic.
That was fantastic.
And he's obviously shown he can do it in the Premier League. He's been doing fantastically.
Well, that's the difference, isn't it? Proven Premier League quality.
Exactly. Yeah, but then you look at him and then you think he's going to be up against stiff competition at City. You know, you've got Aguero, you've got Dzeko, you've got Jovetic. So where does
Bunny fit in?
Yeah.
Well, what I've heard about his character is that won't faze him initially, and he'll do whatever it takes to really force his way in. And what I'm interested to see is what that will mean for the likes of Dzeko and Jovetic. Do you think their positions could be really... I mean, if he gets off to a flyer, they could be forced out.
Could be. I mean, Jovetic has sort of... He's not come into the Premier League and done what people maybe expected when he was back at Fiorentina, because he was setting the world alight there. So... he could probably be the first name on the list of, say, let's players who can offload to help Boney sort of set in. And Dzeko as well. But Dzeko, I dislike him because he always does so well against Man U. But in general, I think he's a very, very good striker and he knows where the back of the net
is. Yeah, that's
the way. But, I mean, Ferguson always used to say you need four quality strikers. And City at the moment, you would say, have four quality strikers. And
so do you think this is going to tip something in their favour in terms of the title race?
It could do. Especially in the later stages, if you can get them all firing on all cylinders, but the problem is now they're all going to have to build partnerships. Mm-hmm. We know Dzeko and Aguero have a good partnership. Aguero on his own is just a force to be reckoned with. So,
and they can't all play, of course, and now they're at the FA Cup. So
yeah, I guess that's one less competition for some of them to get to have a game in. But no, they've still got the Champions League.
Absolutely.
So
Plenty of games. So would you say they've done the best bit of business?
I still think Arsenal probably trumps them a little bit.
Well, I'm not going to argue with you there. There you have it. Of course, still a couple of days to go before deadline day. And in football, we know all too well how quickly things can change. At least in our opinion, it is Arsenal who have really done the business this January, at least in the boardroom. But maybe you disagree. If that's the case, then we definitely want to hear from you this week. Tweet us at IOTP Show or visit us on Facebook, facebook.com. shoreditchradio.com/IOTP and leave a comment. A special surprise is just around the corner now, so why not stick around just a little longer and get ready to hear from the editor of the biggest QPR fanzine, Dave Thomas, on In Off The Post.
You're listening to Shoreditch Radio. Shoreditchradio.co.uk.
Dave, good afternoon to you, my good man. First off, I know you were kind enough to join us on the show despite having to come straight from the dentist. So it leads me to my first question. Obviously, watching QPR play football and pulling teeth, not too dissimilar at times, am I right?
Not too dissimilar at all. You're quite right there. But luckily, the treatment was well, there was no treatment today. It was just a check-up, and so I'm pain-free. And I hope when we go to Stoke on Saturday, I'll be having a similar feeling to that to keep the analogy going.
Well, I'm very, very pleased to hear that indeed. Now, we were talking about the FA Cup earlier on the show, and your team, of course, only made it as far as the third round. You're having a bit of a dismal run in the FA Cup in recent times. Sheffield United obviously having a great year, certainly in terms of their cup runs.
Yeah.
So, you know, in a sense, as mad as it was this weekend, and I'm sure you saw and heard as much as we did, were you happy almost to not be involved?
No, not at all. I'm from the old school. I still place a great deal of importance in the FA Cup. I think it's a very important competition, particularly for a team like QPR. One of our very, you know, we don't have too much glory down at Loftus Road, but one of the biggest days in the club's history was, of course, going to Wembley in the 1982 FA Cup final against
Absolutely,
Tottenham.
Yeah.
And, the way things are going at the moment, it seems pretty much as if that was the last FA Cup game we've won, because our record in recent years has been, well, it's been dismal is an understatement, really.
I've got the stat here. Two FA Cup matches in the last 14 seasons.
Yeah, well, I've been at every single one of them and suffered through them. I'm disappointed with the attitude that we show to the cup. Really, I don't think we give it its due respect. And it's crazy because I'm from the, as I say, from the old school, and I believe that there, you know, we're clearly not going to win the Premier League, but I would have thought that the and in fact I do believe that the FA Cup as well within in our compass, as it is for many teams, you know, of a similar ilk. You know, your West Broms and your Hulls, and well, Hull proved it last year by getting to the final.
Absolutely,
so,
yeah.
You know, I'd like to see Rangers there this year, but as ever, it was a pitiful performance on the day, and Sheffield United were deserved winners, and. Yeah, good luck to him. That's all I can say.
Well, that's very gracious of you. And, of course, let's talk about the Premier League. That you're in the unenviable position of 19th with 19 points, but, of course, only 6 points separate 20th and 12th. So how confident are you of your team actually getting out of this mess?
Well, I'm going to be perfectly honest. Cards on the table. I'm not really. It's very easy to be cynical, it comes quite easy to be in a QPR supporter. But I think I'm also a realist, and I think when you look at any team that has an away record at this stage of the season, have played 11, won 0, drew 0, lost 11, and I'm including the cup game at Burn in that, which again I was at and suffered through. It's dismal. It's abysmal, and really. It's not good. I don't think it's going to get any easier.
Well, I was about to say, you know, the home form was great, but you were, of course, facing teams, you know, down the second half of the table. Your away form was dismal, but, of course, they were top teams that were coming to your place. Now, of course, reverse fixtures on the horizon. Does that mean it's going to get worse?
Yes, it is. It is. I hear where you're coming from on that, but I think it's going to be very difficult because, as I say, I think we showed against Manchester United that there isn't a great deal of belief there amongst the team. I read in places that you know, everyone seemed to be fairly happy with the performance and the commitment show and things like that, but I felt that it was lacking. I feel that, you know, we'll hark back to the FA Cup now. We see teams raising their game. I didn't see that from Rangers against United, really. I saw a side that looks as if it's almost accepted its fate, really. And I know that sounds very, I'm aware that sounds very negative and almost sort of disillusioned, you know, given that we're in January. But I'd like it to be different. I'd like us to give it a good old go. But I don't see it, really.
So, speaking as a fan, you know, Harry Redknapp has obviously been secured of his position as manager. I don't know whether you thought it was refreshing for Tony Fernandez to come out and put the speculation to bed, but as a fan, and obviously you must speak to a lot of fans and hear their what their thoughts are on it, are people happy that Redknapp's so safe?
I don't think there's any great clamour to see the back of Redknapp. There are obviously the usual moans and groans, and of course, any manager, no matter who they are, especially particularly one who was touted for the England job not so long ago, any manager in that position is in charge of a team who has lost so many away games on the trot. There's going to be rumblings of discontent. Of course there is. From a personal point of view, I'm not sure that changing the manager is going to make much difference, really. And I suspect, and between you, me, and the gatepost, and the listeners, I don't think that the board are particularly confident about staying up either. And I suspect that part of it may have been that to bring a new guy in at the moment would really to be handing him, you know, I wouldn't say the poison chalice, because it's anything but. I part of me, and I could be completely wrong on this, but part of me rather thinks that maybe if the boards are realistic enough to think, well, maybe we are, you know, we aren't going to survive this season, maybe they've just felt that it might be better to, you know, to change the manager during the summer, again, a fresh start in all sorts of ways.
Well, fantastic. Well, I mean, it's incredible insight there. Really, really appreciate you coming on and doing all of that for us. I do want to mention the fanzine quickly. It's obviously something I've read. I've even contributed to one.
And, you certainly have, my friend.
And it was it's a fantastic little publication. And for anyone who can't get down to Loftus Road often enough, how can they get a hold of it?
Well, we have a website, and the fanzine, it's one of the oldest in the country. In fact, it may well be the longest running at the moment. It's very difficult because, of course, as we've seen in recent weeks with the demise of the Red Issue, the Manchester United fanzine, they've called it a day. I know the Liverpool one is thinking of calling it a day as well. And times are really tough. I mean, the fanzine revolution has been and gone. The good ones have survived. I'm very proud to say that A Kick Up the Arse was one of the very first ones, and as I say, it's probably the longest running one now. We've got no plans to pull the plug at the moment. We do have a website. Basically, if you just look up QPR fanzine on any search engine, you'll probably find it. But the website is under the initials, which is AKUTRS, A Kick Up the Arse. It's not A Kick Up the Arse, it's just the acronym AKUTRS. But I'm sure if you Google QPR fanzine, you'll find it somewhere along the line anyway.
Well, I'm sure they certainly will, and I certainly urge them to do so. And A Kick Up the Arse, the aptly named fanzine, because I feel your team certainly are in need of a good swift one, right?
Yes, they are. Please don't, you know, I've probably come across as a bit of a grumpy old so and so this afternoon. I don't mean it to be, because of course they're still my team, I'm still proud of them, and of course you live, breathe and every, you know, every game.
Quite right.
Of the game, I think realistically when we're going home, you know, a little straw poll amongst my companions as we travel back up north, because as you know, Adonis, you know, I'm sort of residing up north these days, with most of us are kind of resigned to the fact that we're going to be playing Championship football next year. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, we don't really mind, to be honest with you, because we're QPR, we'll be wherever we're playing, and it doesn't really matter to us whether it's Barnsley or Man United. Of course, we want to bloody a few noses as we go along, but, you know, I don't think we're ready yet, and I think we're realistic.
Well said. Dave, thank you very much for your time this afternoon.
It's
greatly appreciated,
welcome.
Mate. And I look forward to speaking to you again next time.
Good luck. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Dave Thomas, editor for the QPR fanzine there, with some really interesting insight. I think you'll agree, John.
Massively.
Fascinating stuff.
It's just to be conciding to really to fall into the Championship already is quite a thing, yeah, with so many
Incredible.
Games to go.
Look, and dedicated to the West Londoners, whose owner you would think would have enough money to make these recurring problems simply go away. I think you see where I'm going with this one. Don't go anywhere. Quick Take a Bow is up next.
Who sell out in the stores? You tell me who flop. Who cop the blue drop? Who jewels got box? Who mostly Dolce down to the blue drop? The same old pimp. Mace, you know ain't nothing changed but my limp. Can't stop till I see my name on a blimp. Guarantee me and sales call a level up. You don't believe in Harlem World, nigga, double up. We don't play around, it's a bet, lay it down. Niggas didn't know me 91, bet they know me now. I'm the young Harlem nigga with the Goldie sound. Can't no PD, niggas hold me down. Cooler, school me to the game, now I know my duty. Stay humble, stay low, blow like Hootie. True pimp, niggas spend no dough on the booty. And then yell, there go Mace, there go your cutie.
Well, after such a dramatic weekend in football, it was always going to be tough to narrow down the contenders for this week's most prestigious acknowledgement down to just three. And John, my man, you know the score by now. I lay them out and you choose your winner. And my producer is telling me we're running out of time, so we're going to do this as quick as possible. Number one, first nominee, John Stead. Number two, Jose Mourinho himself for the big... big backfire. And finally, so good I had to mention it again, Richard Money and the charge for swapping shirts with Man United after the game. Who's it going to be?
Take a bow. Has to be John Stead, I reckon, for that performance. It was fantastic. Could have given it to Mourinho just because it backfired and I'd like to see him. So, yeah, but no, John Stead, fantastic.
Great choice. Congratulations, John Stead. Andy Gray, take us home.
Well, take a bow, son. Take a bow.
And that, I'm afraid, brings us to the end of the show. John, thank you so much for joining me in the studio once again.
Thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Well, it always is for us as well. And my thanks also extend, of course, to the QPR fanzine editor, Dave Thomas, who joined us earlier. And, of course, to our wonderful listeners, as always, thank you for tuning into the live broadcast. The podcast will, of course, be uploaded shortly in case you missed anything. And please do help us promote the show by sharing it with a friend. Remember, you can keep up to date with everything that's happening here on In Off The Post on both Twitter at IOTP Show and on Facebook. That's facebook.com/ShoreditchRadioIOTP. Keep your views and song selections coming into us all week long, and I'll do everything in my power to give you a shout out live on air next week. I've been Adonis, and we'll be right back here on Shoreditch Radio next Wednesday at 3. So until then, keep kicking some sense back into football. This has been In Off The Post, and playing us out this week after a truly magical weekend and a beautiful game, here is Joe with a little magic of his own. Have a great week.
Gangster. It was a beautiful day, a day for so much fun. I had my white tee on, had on my new Air One. I was gonna pull out the coupe and drop. I was gonna ride around and hug the block. Then she called and said, I'm on my way. I got a few hours, I might as well stay. Now I'm gonna lay back while she drop her top. Now I'm gonna record the shit, rewind and watch. Now after 2 hours of footage, her body can continue to do it. She looks at me and says, please don't go nowhere. She loves the way I give her the magic. Oh, she loves it. She wants me to keep giving her.
she sure.